I want to jump right in today to our new series. It's going to be three parts to this series called Live Free. It's called Live Free. And so what I want to talk about today is breaking free. And I want to be very practical today, but I want to challenge you at the same time. There's a saying that looks can be deceiving. Have y'all heard that old saying before? Right? That looks can be deceiving. People can look free, but really not be free. Looks can be deceiving. People can look free, but they really not live free. So that is a true statement that looks can be deceiving, because we live in a culture that teaches us how to wear the mask. And I must admit at times it is because we've been hurt and we can't trust people. So we don't want to look like we're weak to people or we're not strong. So you ever heard the saying, you never let them see you sweat? So we live our lives that way. So we learn to wear masks even when we don't have to, even with the people that we don't have to wear masks with, because it just becomes our new normal that we're wearing the mask. So a lot of times when we're hurting and we're in pain and when we're bound, we can't get free because we don't know the difference between the real us and the us that we've come to be, because we feel like we've got to wear the mask because that's the expectation that everyone has of us. You remember I was telling you, not so much this year, but last year, I think there were like pastors all over the country like killing themselves. Because, and I know sometimes, like, some, you know, somebody said to me, you're too transparent. I'm serious. A pastor friend of mine was here, and he said, you're too transparent. See, that's why pastors are blowing their brains out, because they can't be honest. And now, you don't need to know everything. You don't need to tell people everything about what you're going through, because some people will use it to their advantage, all right? So you have to use wisdom in that. But I think as a pastor, it's important that you know that I have struggles in my life, that you know that I want to clothesline my kids sometimes too. That you know that me and my wife have what we call intense fellowships sometimes. Y'all may call them arguments, but we just call them intense fellowship. It's still fellowship. It's just intense. All right. So we've learned to wear the mask like that. And so consequently, we become this other person that God never really wants us to be. So what we're going to do over the next few weeks, I want to talk about some things that we don't commonly talk about. And it's easy oftentimes to tell when someone has like an alcohol addiction, right? Like, if you ever been around someone that has an alcohol addiction and it's really, really bad, like sometimes it comes through their pores. I mean, literally, you can tell. It's like when they ain't even drank for 2 days. And it can. I went to college with a guy like that, that every morning that he would wake up, and this is when we were at Baptist College, it was Charleston Southern now, every morning that he would wake up, the first thing that he would do is turn over and pick up like some MD-2020. Y'all remember that? Y'all don't remember? None of y'all should remember that, because y'all holy people. That's the first thing he would do in the morning, literally, is he would turn over and he would pick up that liquor and he would drink it, because that's how he would wake himself up in order to go to class. Now, at some point, he completely crashed out. He just completely ran over the cliff. So we can clearly see those kind of addiction. I don't even want to talk about the ones that have become more common to talk about, like porn addiction, because you hear everybody talking about that now. There's a church called Triple X Church out in Las Vegas, Nevada, and all they do is deal with people with porn addictions. I mean, it's an incredible ministry that they have, because they're literally setting people that are in the porn industry and addicted to it literally free. I mean, so. Those are the ones that are common, like gambling. Like, now I'm not tripping. I know some of y'all in here might go play bingo. All right. But, like, I had literally an aunt that got addicted to gambling through bingo. And it's like she was spending all her money. She wasn't paying her bills. She wasn't doing anything, because that's how bad she wanted to play bingo. And they would go on these, you know, y'all ever been on them gambling trips? Did they take you? No. See, we are a transparent church. We can be honest. All right. All right. And you just in there. If I try one more time, just one more time, I'm going to get it this time. Just wait a minute. Wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm going to. That's when you know. And no, I'm just. But those are the addictions that are more common. But I want to talk about one that's a little more elusive, but can get incredible footholds in our lives that, and we not even know it. It's been known to get people in trouble and cause them a world of heartache, all right? And this is not going to be something common that I'm telling you all, but the first one I want to talk about this week is comparing. The spirit of comparison. The spirit of comparing. Most of us, not everyone, but most of us can find ourselves in a world of trouble and a lot of times caught in a trap because we spend too much time comparing ourselves to other people. We always look to the right and we look to the left at other people to see how they're doing as a determination of how we're really doing. I remember when I was in high school and I was playing the comparing game. I know I'm a lot older than some of y'all. Me and Kathy grew up together, so we know how old we are. but they had these Coca-Cola shirts. You remember the Coca-Cola shirts? And I wanted me a Coca-Cola shirt. It was like, I'm going to die if I don't, because everybody else is getting one, and I want one. I wanted me a black and gold one, black and gold, and it was gold down here. It was black up here, had a white collar. See, it's still etched in my memory. You know what I'm saying? I love that. I love that shirt. I've been looking for one online recently, right? I remember, and we lived maybe about 25, 30 miles from Myrtle Beach. Then it was Myrtle Square Mall and Briarcliff Mall. That was our two malls, and we lived out in the country. And I remember having my mom drive all over creation because I had to have that Coca-Cola shirt because everybody else in school was getting Coca-Cola shirts. And if I didn't get a Coca-Cola shirt, I wasn't going to be cool. See, I was playing the comparison game. I remember, I think it was in ninth grade, I was kind of like, y'all ever seen that movie High School Musical? The guy on there, Zach, I was like Zach. I was the starting cornerback on the football team, but I was also on the chorus and played in the band. I was like that kid, you know what I'm saying? So I remember I was first chair on the band playing trumpet, and everybody had gotten these silver trumpets that was like the greatest, like these Bach Stradivarius trumpets. If you're a music person, you know exactly what I'm talking about. This is like the Bentley of trumpets. And I had an old brass Con trumpet. And I was like, oh, no, I can't even play in band no more because everybody else got Bach Stradivariuses. Now, mind you, I was first chair with my bronze Con trumpet, but I was comparing myself, even though I was first chair now, I was too busy comparing myself to everyone else. So, of course, my mom, she gets in because we weren't a rich family, all right? So she gets herself in debt to buy this $2,000 trumpet. That was a lot of money back in the 80s now. You know what I'm saying? Like, we had to, what was the old saying? We had to rob Peter to pay Paul. You know how to spell it. But it was my playing the comparison game that kept getting us. And you know what? It's okay. When you're in high school and when you're in college and you play those comparison games. But at some point, you've got to get to the place where that no longer becomes a factor. Because here's the problem. It's okay when you're in high school. It's okay when you're in college because we're still in our development. You know, I always told you all that, like, you don't fully develop your frontal lobe until you're 25. All right? Your reasoning skills, if y'all got some kids in here that's below 25, y'all know exactly. And the closer you get to 25, sometimes it seems like it gets worse. We know, we've been there. Some of us every one of us in this room got a little crazy in us. And right as we were getting closer to that, you just started wilding out even more. It's okay when you're in high school. It's okay when you're in college. But here is the problem. Most of us take that same spirit along in our lives with us, and it determines where we go in our lives. All right? I love this. I heard someone say this one time that all we want is a bigger earth added to all the adjectives that describe us. All that we want is a bigger earth. Somebody say earth. We want to be rich-er. We want to be skinnier. We want to be taller. I ain't got no issues, though. I ain't got no issues. We want to be prettier. We want to be happier. We want to be better. We want to be smarter than everybody else. A lot of us want the more than anybody else so that we can feel better about ourselves. And if you have more than me, then I'm going to feel worse about myself because you got more than I got. So we're judging ourselves by what everyone else has. I don't care if you have a great family. I don't care if you have a great family. As long as my family is better than your family. I don't care if you think I'm ugly as long as you're uglier than me. We just want the earth. We don't care. I know you have a small house, but I know I have a small house. But see, your house is smaller than my house. We all want the earth. We can never really feel it because there's a void. It's like the scripture talks about these broken cisterns or these broken wells that they keep filling up with water and nothing ever stays in, and because the water keeps leaking out. We become like broken cisterns and nothing can really stay on the inside of us and it keeps leaking out and we just keep wanting more and more and more and more, and we want a bigger and we want the big S, and nothing can really fill that void. Because we have a spirit of comparison that has taken hold of our lives. We want the biggest and we want the smartest and we want to be the happiest and we want to be the bestest. Is that a word? No, bestest. We want to be the best. And I know that's not a word, but it is here today. And it robs us of our ability to live a fruitful and free life because we're occupied or we're preoccupied or we consume with what everyone else has. Have you ever seen that person that it's like somebody in the neighborhood gets a new car and is like, I got to get me one. Someone gets something new, I got to get me one of them. Somebody paints there, I got to do that too. So we find ourselves with this spirit of comparison. And it's, listen to me, it was important enough to God that he put it in his top 10. I know we hadn't even looked at it that way. Exodus chapter 20, verse 17. You shall not covet your neighbor's house. You shall not covet your neighbor's wife, because you might get killed, or his male or female servant, or his ox or donkey, or anything that belongs to your neighbor. In other words, don't be consumed with what your neighbor has, because it's only going to lead you to a life of bondage. And in the end, you'll never really be happy. That's why God tells us everything that we need, he gives us in the sacred text. Don't covet your neighbor's house, because you don't know what it took for your neighbor to get that. You don't know what your neighbor's struggling with behind closed doors. They might be on the edge of bankruptcy. It's like, I want what they got. And you don't know how much they're struggling. You don't know that they're working three jobs in order to maintain this lifestyle or this mask that they're wearing. They're working four jobs, and you never see them because they're exhausted. When they finally come in the house, all they want to do is sleep. So he tells us, don't covet your neighbor's house. You should not covet your neighbor's wife. I imagine that relates to the wife or husband. You don't know how crazy they are. That's why you see him out in the yard cutting grass all the time, even when it don't need cutting. I'm just saying. He tells us not to covet anything that your neighbor has. Turn to Luke chapter 12. I want to give you four keys to breaking free from comparison. Four keys to breaking free from comparison. All right? And the first one is watch out for a comparing heart. Watch out for a comparing heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 13, I'm reading from the NIV version. It says, someone in the crowd said to him, teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me. Y'all ever had somebody die in your family and the stuff has to be divided? Lord Jesus, you thought your family was cool until land or money came into the mix. Jesus replied, man, who appointed me a judge or arbiter between you? Then he said to them, watch out. Listen to this now, because he's trying to get this to them. Watch out. Be on guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consists in an abundance of possessions. He's saying life is just not about what you have. So don't make it about what you have. It's okay. You hear me say that all the time. Sometimes we build a theology, even in church, around what we have. If you don't have nothing, then you're not prosperous in your life. No, you just got a whole bunch of debt. So we've got to be careful about that stuff because we built it. He's saying right here, life does not consist in an abundance. Now, that knocks some of our theologies right out the window based on what we, because I've been taught that too. Life does not consist in an abundance of stuff. When you develop a comparing heart, it will lead you to a place of discontentment and jealousy and anger. This dude is frustrated and he's angry because he's allowed his heart to drift to a place that he never should have. And he literally wants what his brother have. It's almost like he's saying you've got to guard your heart against greed and evil because it'll manifest itself in so many different ways that before you know it, you can find yourself caught up in a trap that you didn't even know how you got to that place because you have a spirit of comparison on you and it's luring you farther and farther away. If you look at the brother in this story, he got caught up because he didn't guard his heart. So he fell into the spirit of comparison. He had a comparing heart. Let me give you a couple of examples of people in the scripture who got caught up from a comparing heart. 1 Samuel chapter 18, very familiar passage to many of us. Verse 8, it says, this made Saul very angry. All right? So now we know that this is the moment that, you know, David has killed Goliath and they are coming back and everybody's like really excited and they're like, you know, he says this, David, they credit David with 10,000s and me with only thousands. Next, they'll be making him their king. So from that time on, Saul kept a jealous eye on David. So Saul was really struggling from this point forward because he had a comparing heart and all he could do was think about David. All he can do was be consumed about David because he was comparing, because he heard them singing. He heard them singing the songs and dancing. David has killed his 10,000s and Saul has killed his 1,000s. It's like, wait a minute. I'm the king. You're not going to imply that he's better than I am or that he's bigger than I am because I'm the king. So he got caught up with a comparing heart. He was upset. And the Bible says that he kept a jealous eye on David from that time forward. How many times do we find ourselves getting in a place where we're keeping a jealous eye on someone because we have fallen into this place where we are comparing ourselves or our success or our maturity on someone else and not necessarily what God has for us? Jesus even struggled with it. Luke 9 and 46. Listen what the Bible says in Luke 9 and 46. It says that then his disciples began arguing about which one of them was the greatest. Now, these dudes had walked with Jesus now, just 12 of them. They were with him, and they arguing over it. Listen, man, I'm closer to him than you closer to him. I'm better than you because it don't matter. Me and him talked yesterday for 2 hours. It don't really matter because you didn't spend that kind of time with him that I spent with him. I'm the man. So even his disciples struggling with that. They begin arguing about which one of them was the greatest among them. It wasn't good enough that they were all hanging out with the Savior of the world. But now they're preoccupied. See, they got caught up with, see how easy it is to get. So that lets us know right there that any of us can get caught up. These dudes was walking with the Son of God, and they're standing over to the side, not realizing we're walking with the Son of God. Wait a minute, man. Wait a minute. I'm the man. I'm closer. It don't really. See how easy it is for us to get our hearts caught up and drift away from God. All these talented dudes, but their time is being consumed with who is the greatest among them. And don't let this spirit mess up your life. Number two, how do we break free from the spirit of comparison in our lives? The spirit of comparison in our lives. Number two, watch out for a wrong focused heart. Watch out for a wrong focused heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 15. Jesus says, then he said to them, watch out. This is that same, be on Be on your guard against all kinds of greed. Life does not consist in an abundance of possessions. So it's so easy in the society that we live in to get caught up in what we have or what we don't have or what we don't even realize that where it's about to take us to a place that it's going to run us over the cliff. It's like we want the biggest and we want the nicest and we want the cleanest, and then we find ourselves consumed with the ist. And so it's a consequence of that. We start to do anything that we have to do to get the biggest or to get the best. So we start literally neglecting everything else around us, and we lose our focus, and God is trying to get our attention and get us to understand that life is not about what you have. Life is not about what you possess. It's really about what possesses you. It's not about the stuff you have. If you could get a house, that's cool. Aspire to get a house. Get your credit together. Make sure that you know how to budget. All right? Make sure that you have enough resources and get your house. But it's like, don't overwhelm yourself being consumed with possessions that you lose the focus of your heart. And this is why it's important for us to protect our heart, because when you have a comparing heart, it turns your heart into a worrying heart. Remember the scripture in Proverbs, it says, guard your heart, for out of it flow the issues of life. Protect your heart, protect your mind, because if you don't, it's like all of this foreign stuff will infiltrate your heart and it will drive your decisions. And then what will happen is it will drive you right over the cliff, and then it will drive you to a worrying heart. And if it drives you, let's just talk about it from a very surface physical level. When it drives you to a place of worry and stress, stress releases toxins in your body, and the toxins attack your cells in your body. And if your cells can't operate like they're supposed to, then other substances, foreign substances, and sickness can invade your body. So you see how important it is? See, the enemy wants to trip you up in the spiritual realm and then manifest it in the physical realm, and then you're sick, and then you can't carry out God's purpose and will for your life. You see how important it is for us to find a place of rest? I know some of y'all, he talking about rest again. I'm talking about finding a place of trust and faith in God, that no matter what happens, you can know that God's going to work all things together for your good because you love him. God, I don't like the way it feels. I don't like the way it looks. But you've proven yourself enough for me to know that if you did it then, you can do it again. You're still God. Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12, verse 22. Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life, what you will eat, about your body, what you will wear. See, this is knocking some of our theology out, because, see, they told us, you know, I'm your man of God. You'll see this nice $2,000 suit. No. I got these from Marshalls for $7. And they look as good as the dude who wearing the $75 ones. All right? Don't hate on me. All right? For life is more than food, and the body is more than clothes. Consider the ravens. They do not sow or reap. They have no storeroom or barn, yet God feeds them. And how much more valuable you are than the birds. That's why I keep saying to you all, love the Lord your God with all your heart, mind, and soul, and love your neighbor as yourself. If we learn to love ourselves, we'll recognize that we are valuable. We are treasured to God. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. And we'll trust God enough to know that I'm beautiful, I'm incredible, I have purpose. So all I've got to do is trust God, and God's going to provide for me. He's going to open the doors, and he's going to open my eyes and open my ears so that I can hear his voice and I can see the path that he has for me. Don't get caught up or consumed with a comparing heart. See, when you start comparing yourself, you start to drift off. And you start to bite off stuff that you can't chew. I had a pastor friend of mine one time in another city that wanted to come under this other pastor. And the pastor told him, Doc, you know, that's our pastor language, right? if you want to come under me, you got to have a Mercedes. Yeah, I got a Toyota 4Runner outside, and it is paid for. And I just took it to my mechanic. I had a tune-up recently. He said, listen, it'll last to 500,000 miles if you take care of it. Body looks great. I don't want no car payment. I'm just saying. At some point, I'm going to have to get one, but I'm just saying, it ain't that deep to me. All right? He tells the dude, you got to get a Mercedes. He's like, okay. If that's what my man of God is saying, I'm going to go get me a Mercedes. So he went and got a Mercedes, but really couldn't afford it. After about 6 or 7 months, he lost the Mercedes. And he was doing so much in order to keep the Mercedes. It caused a whole bunch of stress in his marriage. He's married with 3 kids. It caused a whole bunch of stress in his life. So him and his wife ended up getting divorced. Just because of a comparing heart. You got to have this in order to. Now, I know there was a song one time said, you got to have a J-O-B. If you want to be with, yeah, okay, come back. You need to have a J-O-B now. You don't need to have that Mercedes, but you do need to have that J-O-B. But he got caught up in that, and it took him farther. God doesn't want your life overtaken and consumed with material things. It's okay if you have stuff, all right? But when stuff takes a seat in your life that starts to overwhelm you, that's not God. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. It comes from the one above. So when it becomes a burden in your life, then we have to ask the question, was this really of God? Because God doesn't want you bound. Because whom the Son has set free is free indeed. So he doesn't want you bound. That's why take your time, guys. Like, sometimes we don't want to take the time to discipline ourselves just to save sometimes, just to be disciplined. All right? Like, I know a lot of pastors, and some of you all may be tired of me saying stuff like this, but sometimes I feel like because of the ministry that God has given us, at Oasis, there is a place. I do believe in the power of sowing and reaping. I do believe that that's a principle that governs the universe. It is both spiritual and it is both natural. But I think the waters of the principle have become muddy because we pastors have used it to manipulate you to get our stuff. You know what I'm saying? So we tell you, if you want to be blessed, and I see y'all right there, if you want to be blessed to get that 5,000 square foot house, you need to run up here now and put $500 in your man of God hand. All right? And we can't even afford a 5,000 square foot house. See, can I be honest and real with you all? We gotta stop doing that stuff. Now, if there's a, because there are countless stories of people who have done that and they never saw the manifestation of what they were told they would see. And so now they're out of church completely. More people are dumping out of church now than any other time, it seems like, in the history of the world. And people are, I can't even blame them. You can't even be, say, you don't go to church? No, because I hate y'all. All y'all preachers do is lie and steal. Take our money. We did that. Y'all, the people didn't do that. We did that. And somebody's got to be honest about it. Because we found ourselves in a place where we got caught up in a comparing heart. So if I don't have, I'm the man of God. If I don't have the biggest house or the best car, then I ain't really spiritual. I got to give my people something to attain. Y'all heard that before? I got to give them something to reach for. No, you need to reach for God. That's who you, that needs to be the author and the finisher of your faith. Not me, all right? My life does need to be an example because I'm the lead pastor here, all right? But you need to set your affections on things above. You need to look at him because he will never fail us. Never, ever. Turn to Luke chapter 12 again, verse 29. And do not set your heart on what you will eat or drink. I'm reading that again. Do not worry about it. Listen to this. For the pagan world runs after all such things. Y'all see how that spirit has infiltrated the church? See, we don't, I bet y'all, we never read this scripture very much. For the pagan world runs after all such things. So it's like we running after the same stuff, and we're consumed with the same stuff. Now, I'm not telling you not to have vision, not to start your businesses, not to aspire to do greater in your life. I'm not even saying that. But when we use an unhealthy barometer for success in our lives, it's going to drive us off the cliff. And your Father knows that you need them. See that? In other words, so I know that you need them. But seek his kingdom, and these things will be given to you as well. So there's a different process. God says, I know what you have need of, even before the King James Version says, I know what you have need of, even before you ask me. But if you seek ye first the kingdom and my righteousness, then all things will be. Seek my will and my way of doing things, and then what will happen is I will open your eyes, and I will give you creative ideas. I'm gonna unlock that over the next, because I got a couple of nurses in here. Some of us can't seek the kingdom because we're just too unhealthy. Remember, I told you, like, I almost had a stroke about a month ago. And I was trying to figure out why I wasn't thinking clear. Like, but I got myself together, started eating different, started resting more, and started taking these natural vitamin supplements. And I was like, I'm thinking clearer. I can get more done. See, that wasn't even spiritual. That was natural. But it was affecting my spiritual life. See, when we realize the totality of what the kingdom of God is, that God cares about you spirit, soul, and body, then we'll care about every part of us. So, number three. So our hearts need to be focused in the right place. All right. So when it is what God will do, God will provide a way for us, whether it's, again, through jobs or creative ideals or favor with individuals or vision. There are people in here who have started businesses that God gave visions, and they're opening those businesses because God's giving them. And what happened is, like, we got a couple right there, Mendez and Dietrich back there. They just opened a natural hair salon. And in the process, God just was, can I testify about it? I guess I could give you the mic, let you testify about it. God's favor was on them, and they are an incredible couple, like loving people. And it's like God just started, his favor was on them, and he just started opening the doors for them. And he just made the way easy, all right? Sometimes God will do that for you, all right? And I know the way won't always necessarily be easy, but God will still be on it. God will give you those ideas. And sometimes in the process, it'll seem difficult. But God is using the process to mature you, to make you better, so that when you get to the bigness, is that a word? Bigness? Bigness? I'm making up some words today, but that's all right. The bigness of what he has for you, that you'll be mature enough to handle what God has. See, because some of us have not matured enough to handle what God has for us yet. Like, no, wait a minute, Pastor, I'm mature. No, you're not. That's why you're fussing about it right now. Back to the message. Number three, watch out for an unthankful heart. Watch out for an unthankful heart. All right, look back at the text in Luke 12. That's kind of the text for today. Verse 16 says, and he told them this parable. And Jesus always had to come this way because it seems like there was really no other way that he could get it to him. The ground of a certain rich man yielded an abundant harvest. He thought to himself, what shall I do? I have no place to store my crops. Verse 18, he says, then he said, this is what I'll do. I will tear down my barns and build bigger ones. And there I will store my surplus grain. Now, if you know anything about biblical history, when they were harvesting their fields, they were literally supposed to leave something in the field anyway in order for other people that were maybe lacking, all right? And we don't even do that, all right? Because we're trying to build bigger and better, so we don't even have anything in order to give. That's a whole nother conversation. And I'll say to myself, you have plenty of grain laid up for many years. Take life easy. Eat, drink, and be married. So remember, Jesus is telling this story in response to this man who's upset because he feels like his brother has more than him. And Jesus, in these parables, he felt like these parables were the best way that I can get this principle to you. So he's like, you're so focused on what someone else has that you can't be thankful for what you have. So now it's got you all twisted up. What am I saying? It always feels like the grass is greener on the other side, right? Until you get over there and realize it really was just the sunlight reflecting on that side. And based on your position, it just looked greener. And you got over there and you found out that actually the grass... Wait a minute. Where this grass brown? And see, it was the reflection of your grass on the other side. And you were looking at it, and it's like, it's greener over there because it had changed your vision because your heart was in the wrong place. So now your vision shifted. And you felt like you had to have what was over there. So you went chasing after that, and you left what God had already given to you over here. And you couldn't be thankful for this because you were too busy wanting that. And so what happened is we didn't factor... In fact, when we get over there, we didn't even factor in the thorns and the thistles because it looked good. And when we got over there, it was like, oh, okay. Ooh, ooh, ooh. Wait a minute. Because we didn't factor in everything that was over there because we had a comparing, unthankful heart. That's why the scripture says in 1 Thessalonians 5 and 18, and I quote this scripture all the time, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for us in Christ Jesus. And the King James Version says, in everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus. When you have a comparing heart, sometimes you forget just to thank the Lord. Everybody say, thank you, Lord. I remember this song we used to sing that says, tragedies are commonplace, all kinds of diseases, people are slipping away, economy's down, people can't get enough pay, and as for me, all I can say is, thank you, Lord, for all you've done. You remember that song? It could have been me. With no food, thank you. No clothes. Thank you. Okay, right there. Whew. I don't want to get caught up right there, but sometimes we just don't want to have a thankful heart. And sometimes if we learn to thank God where we are in all circumstances, God will bring us to another place. The last thing I want to give you. Number four, watch out for a stingy heart. This ain't the hook, y'all. I said, there he go now. I heard it in somebody's spirit. There he go. He gonna get us now. Watch out for a stingy heart. Luke chapter 12, verse 20. But God said to him, you fool, this very night your life will be demanded from you. Then who will get what you have prepared for? See, this is something larger that he's talking about. Because God wants us to have the kind of giving. See, he wants us to have that kind of giving heart where we will help those who really can't help themselves or are less fortunate. This is how it will be with whoever stores up things for themselves but is not rich towards God. We see people in the world suffering every day. And we could do something about it, and we choose not to do anything about it. So he's like, you're more concerned about yourself than you're concerned about others. God didn't mean for your life to just be about you. Some of us are bound because we're all about us. Remember, I told you a couple of weeks ago, it's that apathy. I've been hurt so much, they're not going to get me anymore. So I'm going to do me. Y'all heard that before? I'm going to do me. I don't care about nobody else. I'm going to do me. I don't have a problem with you doing you. But see, the problem is that when we become self-centered, it's almost like we become less God-centered. And the more God-centered we become, the more people-centered we become in terms of it heightens our sensitivity to the reality of what's going on in the world. Y'all, the world is a crazy place right now. Sometimes it's like, you know what, I'm going to just go back to my farm, and I'm going to build me a big wall. That sounds crazy, don't it? We got 200 acres of farmland. I'm going to go back, and I'm going to build me a big old wall, and we're going to build a tower so we can look out and see who come in. I've been watching too much Walking Dead, haven't I? That's, y'all pray for me right now. But we need to be God-centered so that we will have a heart for a world that's dying out there that needs what you have. And a lot of times we're so heavy with stuff that we can't even give it to them. See, you were supposed to start that business because God needed a place where people could come and get their hair done and experience the love of God. God needed you to start that business so people could come down and sit and eat. And they could just enjoy, and they could have this sense that God is here. God needed you to do that, but we spent so much time allowing our hearts to drift away from God that our minds can't be open to receive the creative ideals that he wants to give us. So God wants to break us free. God wants to bless the work of your hands. All right? Let's pray. Father, we love you today, God. We love you more than anything. Father, I just pray for everyone that's here today, God. I don't know where they are. I don't know what they're struggling with in their hearts, God. But Lord, what I do know is that you came to set us free. Father, I pray someone's at a place in a moment of transition right now. And they're just feeling lost and trying to figure it out, God. Father, I pray for them right now, God, that you would move them to a place of quietness and rest, a place of trust and faith. That God, that you would first break the chains of bondage that has held them bound. Father, we speak it by faith. And we'll walk it out, Father. We'll speak like it. We'll live like it. We'll declare it over our lives and over our families. Father, I know what you have for everyone in this place is good. And every good and perfect gift comes from you. So, Father, I speak to everything in this room now that's not like you. And I command it to submit to your will and purpose. If it has to go, let it go. If you're using it for our good to work us through something, God, let it work. But don't let it overtake us. Let us live on top of the world. Father, increase our faith. Now, God, help our hearts to be thankful. Just like your word says, in everything we should give you thanks because it is your will in your Son, Christ Jesus. So, God, help us to be thankful in everything. So even when we find ourselves in the valleys of life, God, help us to be thankful because we're just going through to get to the other side. Now, God, we love you. Now, we glorify you. God, help us to be sensitive to a world as we leave this place today. God, help us to be sensitive to a world around us that needs to know that you are love, that you are God. Give us the words to speak. Father, when you open our eyes to see that someone needs to hear your voice through us, make us sensitive. God, grab our hearts, God. Bring us back to you, Father. Bring us back to a place where we're willing to spend time with you. We're willing to spend time in prayer so that we develop a sensitivity to your voice and your presence and your people in the world around us, God. We love you now. In your name we pray. Amen.